Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's start with some prayer. Welcome to my backyard, by the way. It's really great to have you here in some sort of way. Christ, I thank you that I have this community in my life that I feel connected with, despite disconnect and a time of quarantine. Thank you that that connection remains, and that that connection has something to do with better, is something better than just meeting every once in a while. It's the hope and love and joy that you bring us, and that you bring and provide into our lives and the lives of our neighbors through us and into our whole world. You are all joy, hope, faith, love. And I'm so grateful I get to participate with you in Portland with these people. I pray that this time of playing music would speak to our hearts, that it would make room for your voice in your in our lives. In your name, Christ. Amen.
Softer gleam.
in a continuing our time of worship, the prayers of the people, if we could take a moment of silence and just think about everyone else other than ourselves. Just think about the other people in our community that maybe we haven't talked to. Friends, family that we need to connect with. Maybe people who we need to bridge conflict between. Whatever it is, to just not think about ourselves and allow Christ to direct our hearts to praying for other people. Thank you, God, that in every one of the relationships that came into our minds or people that came into our minds, you're trying to join us in on something you're already doing. Help us to connect more with you so that we can connect more with each other in creative, meaningful, and fulfilling ways. In your name, Christ, thank you. So we're going to let the kids go down to the pub, and then there's coffee in my kitchen. There's no pub. I messed it all up. Gosh, back to you, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you could please make your way back to your seats. I know you're grabbing some coffee and saying hi, giving hugs, shaking hands. But are you? So I got a couple quick announcements. The first is that this Wednesday, the 8th at 7 p.m., we have beer and theology. You provide the beer, we'll provide the theology, and it's not going to be at the Oregon Public House per usual. It is going to be from your living room or wherever you are with connectivity. We're going to do it as a Zoom meeting. We will post the link on our website and on Facebook page and our group right before. So please join us for that. It'd be a good time to hang out, catch up, see some friendly faces. I also want to let you know that we have the book club starting online. We'll be virtual. If you have signed up, great. We'll get that info to you soon. If you haven't signed up and you want to join it, you can email ryan@theoregoncommunity.com. He'll get you on the list, a very exclusive, long and distinguished list, and get you the info for that as well. I want to let you know that we are posting stuff regularly on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us there if you are not. And also want to let you know that if you are not currently receiving our emails with information about what's going on, you can sign up for those on our website. Go to our website, check it out, find some fun stuff. If you don't know where our website is, that's impossible because you found this video and that's where this video is posted. Also want to let you know that if you personally want to host something, some kind of meetup, some kind of Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, Google Hangout meeting, and you want us to help facilitate that, let folks know, then just let us know. We would be happy to help make that happen for you. We want to make sure that people can hang out as much as possible. And then also want to let you know that we're stuck at home. A lot of us with our spouses, conflict happens, it will arise. And wanted to put out there an offer that we will be doing a kind of a little conflict resolution, get to know your spouse better tool that's put out by the Gottman Institute. And so if you are interested in sitting in, participating in that, please email me, bob@theoregoncommunity.com. And once we get some people interested in it, then we will let you know when it's going to happen, and it will happen over Zoom as well. So we keep saying Zoom, 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 not a Mazda car. Does Mazda do Zoom, Zoom, Zoom?
Zoom, Zoom.
I don't know, but not a commercial. If you don't have Zoom, it's a platform that we use to just do some virtual hangouts. Really cool. You can download it for free and pretty easy to use. So check that out. If you don't know how to do it, you want more information, you can get in touch with me, Ryan, or Kyle. We'd be happy to help you out with it. And lastly, you can give online at theoregoncommunity.com. We would love to continue to support and do the things that we're doing. Even though we are not seeing each other face to face, it's a bummer, but we love you guys and we want to keep doing what we're doing. So thank you. I hope you're enjoying your day. I don't know what I'm doing right now because I'm recording this Friday night. So when you're watching this on Sunday, I have no clue what I'll be doing. I might be enjoying my day. I might not. Please pray that I enjoy it. I would much rather do that.
Hey, everyone. It's Alex and Morgan Coder with an update about empty service from last week.
Thank you so much for all the food that you brought. All the cookies and the salad. Everybody even got to have, I think, 3 or 4 cookies each, and it was incredible, and they were so thankful for all of that. So thank you for all the donations.
And then for our main course, we made spaghetti with meat sauce. Overall, we passed out like 150 to-go trays of food, which is way more than we normally do. And then we actually ran out, which was shocking given how much food we passed out, and had to run and grab Burger King. But it was just a really great time. We did great, and they were super appreciative. I think right now is a time where everyone's feeling a little bit lonely and isolated, and especially a group that already is isolated based on their demographic. And I think it was just really cool to see how that community took care of each other, and how even in this weird time, like, people were able to eat. And that's because of all of the stuff you brought, and just the great organization Home PDX is.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hope to see you guys soon.
In person.
In person, not virtually. All right, bye guys.
Bye.
Hey everyone, it's Christine. Just checking in with you all and letting you know that we have another video for the kids posted for this Sunday for Kids Church. I'll keep posting one every week for everyone. Hope that you are all staying safe, staying home, doing your part. We are really looking forward to seeing everyone when this is all done. It's been a hard week for our family when it comes to being away from other people. So know that we are thinking of you and wishing you all the best. See ya.
Oh, you guys were in our plant. Hi, middle schoolers. It's Nate and Kiki.
Hi.
I hope quarantine is going well for all of you guys. I'm obviously going crazy because I grew a mustache and revealed my double chin. But other than that, we're doing well, right?
I guess, yeah.
So we have a Bible Project video for you guys to watch this week. It's about the portion of Luke where Jesus goes back to Jerusalem. This Sunday is Palm Sunday, so it's about the day that he went back. They were laying the palm leaves on the ground. That's where the name comes from. So we hope you guys enjoy that and learn something from it. We also
on Monday are going to do a Zoom meeting. So if you guys want to hang out, chat, talk about what's happening, kill some time, we will be on Zoom on Monday at 4 p.m.
Yes.
Here is my meeting ID. I don't know if you can read that because it's backwards.
But I might be backwards. 301-560-7336. Yeah. We miss you guys. We love you guys.
Hope you're doing well.
Hope you're doing well. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday, the Oregon community. I'm so glad to be joining you in your house. Turn around. I'm just kidding. I'm not there. I have been practicing social distancing and staring at you from outside your windows. So don't worry, I'm not there. I want to thank Kyle. I want to thank Bob. I want to thank Christine for putting all of this together. I want to thank Josh. Thank you all so much for continuing to serve our church. We're still here. We're still together. We're in this, man. Whew! How are you guys? How's everybody doing this morning, this week? How was your week? Last week was kind of the first week of it. Last week was spring break, so I'm sure you guys were all traveling and busy and started homeschooling this week for the first time. I've been doing that, and it's going okay. It's going all right. My kids and I agree on one thing. We don't really like the new teacher. He doesn't seem to know what he's doing or that he really wants to be there, but man, what are we paying these teachers? We gotta pay them more, please. I'm an extrovert and I'm about to lose it. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, similar or not. I miss it, man. I miss you guys. I miss hanging out. I miss talking with people. I miss laughing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm home with my kids, which I am so grateful for. I really am. Are you? That's the question. I am so grateful to be home with them. It's helping me in so many ways. I remember a long time ago, I read a statistic. Listen to this. This is kind of crazy. The average child laughs 300 times a day. 300 times a day. I love that. I love that you do not have to teach a child to laugh. Their natural state is one of joy and curiosity and laughter. You want to know, to me, what one of the strongest apologetics or the strongest arguments for the nature of God, of the God that created us, is? To me, it's that babies dance.
I love you, do 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 do. I love you, do 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 do. I love you, do 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 do. I love you, baby, bubby, do 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 do. Baby, bubby, do do. You did.
Yeah, I just played a America's Funniest Home Videos clip. That's what we can do now in these internet days. I love it, though. I love you. Don't have to teach a child to dance. It's incredible. We learn not to dance. You know what I mean? Like, we learn how to, we unlearn it. I have two kids. And so there are so many times where I'll just hear from the other room just screaming. Just chaos, commotion, and screaming. And instead of, I learned a while ago, don't go in there, wait. Just wait. And then you hear a couple minutes later, laughter, joy, delight. It's not a scream of pain or danger or anger, but one of happiness. The child, they laugh 300 times a day. You want to know how many times the average adult laughs in a day? 10 times. This was pre-quarantine. Okay, these numbers are pre-quarantine. What happens to us? Why aren't we laughing anymore? Where does the joy go? As the ancient philosopher John Cougar Mellencamp once wrote in his powerful treatise entitled A Little Ditty, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Oh, man. Is that the life that we were created for? To have like some good times early on and then just slowly wait around for it to be over. Look, and I know these are not good times right now. No one is having a good time. It may be except for like the extreme gamers. Those guys and girls must be loving this right now, just sitting at home playing games. But this is probably the hardest time that any of us have ever had to live through. And God willing, maybe the hardest thing we'll ever have to live through. The unknown, the fear, the isolation, the money struggles, the family struggles. Life is so hard. I am suffering right now. You want to know I'm not laughing? What are you kidding me? Whew. Psalm 23. I know, cliche right now, but this is the only thing that's been going through my head. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 was written by David. Some say it was early in his life because he was a shepherd. This is a psalm about shepherds, about a good shepherd, right? others say it may have been written later in his life because of all of the difficulties and trials that he had to endure. But whenever it was written, it's obvious that he was in a place of deep darkness and deep despair, the valley of the shadow of death. Do you feel like you're there right now? Have you ever been in a place like that? I'm just like, man, like, I don't know, like, my life is over. This is unbearable. Have you been in that place before? I've been there a few times in my life, from emotional pain and challenges. A few times from physical things. I mean, I was just in the hospital a month ago, and I don't know how real it was in that moment in terms of how dangerous things were for me, but I know that feeling of being wheeled down a hospital hallway in a bed, out of control, thinking this can't be happening. What am I gonna do? I remember when I was in college, I went to college down in Los Angeles, and we would go boogie boarding. We got into boogie boarding because there was nothing less cool that we could think of. And so we went to this place one time in Newport Beach. It's called The Wedge. If you look it up on the internets, it's pretty famous. The Wedge in California has these huge waves, massive, insane waves that get created in this one little spot where they put this, like, I should have looked this up. This is like forever now. This is brutal. Anyway, there's this big kind of shoreline, and these giant waves get created, and they're famous for, like, professional surfers. We are not professional anythingers, but we went out there because it was like, yeah, big waves, awesome. And the waves come and they crash right onto the the sand, onto the floor, which is, again, probably why it's not a safe place for anybody like us to go. I was a pretty good swimmer, so we go out there and I'm trying to catch a wave, and, you know, you get on the boogie board and you have to, like, try and get ahead of the wave and try and catch it on the down thing. And I was trying to get one. I finally got to one that I thought was going to be like, oh, this is it. It's a massive wave. I was at the right spot, and I go, and it just hammers me right into the seafloor. And I had learned from playing out in the ocean, just let it kind of roll you a little bit. Once it kind of releases you, then start swimming and go back up. So I let it kind of tumble me under, and then as soon as it stops kind of tumbling, I start to swim back up, and then boom, I get hit again. Another wave. Oh man, okay, no big deal. Let it do it, and then I go to swim back up, and then boom, a third time, I get tumbled underneath. And now at this third moment, I don't have really any air left, and now I am completely freaking out. And I'm fighting and doing everything I can just to get up. And at that moment, I realize if I don't breathe in the next couple seconds, it's over. You know, I had that complete life flashing before my eyes moment of thinking, I don't think I'm going to make it through this. And in that moment, it's so surreal. And maybe that's the feeling we've all been feeling for the last couple weeks, this surreal moment. And then boom, all of a sudden, air. And I see my friends screaming, Ryan, get in it! Ah, they're freaking out. And Man, that I remember being absolutely terrified. And that was just the physical times that I've been through this. The emotional times that I've been in this place and the valley of the shadow of death, it is so much harder. Ugh. It gets so much hard. Life can be so difficult at times. It can be so challenging and so confusing. My life right now, just like yours, I'm sure, is so challenging. It's crazy. And I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sitting filling out applications for loans and grants and talking with the city. And I don't know what I'm doing. And I sure as heck don't know how to do it. And I'm not complaining. I've chosen this. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else doing anything else, but it is crazy. It is hard. And I know a lot of you out there, your life is just like this. And David writes in this psalm, he says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Those are the three things I want to share this morning. The first thing that comes to mind right now is in this moment in history, it's the very first line. It's actually the very first word. It says, he makes me lie down. This, I love that. This isn't an invitation. This isn't like, hey, come over, check this out. No, this is forced. This is an unavoidable thing. This is out of your control. Does that remind you of anything right now? We have been made to lie down for a moment. Maybe like me, there's just lots to still do. There's tons to still do. But listen, we can't go anywhere. We can't distract ourselves in the same way. We've been made to lie down right now. David is writing these lines of poetry as a shepherd. He was a shepherd for many years. He understands the values of green pastures, of still waters. Oh, still waters. Still waters in Israel was a very real thing. Where David lived was basically a desert. It's not a place like this. It's not like Portland. We got still waters all the heck around us. Still waters have been killing me this last week. I got muddy backyard. I don't need no more still waters. But in the desert, you rarely, rarely have this. If you have water at all, it's like the scorched earth usually just sucks it up right away. If it pours out on the dry ground, it is immediately absorbed. Or you get the opposite, floods. Flash floods are very common in this region. There was a report like over a decade ago about a 70-foot wall of water coming down from the hills in a flash flood. So where David lived, there was basically either no water or like rapid water. But the idea of still water, of like a quiet brook, of a place of peace and harmony, this is a rare and beautiful thing for shepherds. If I were to ask you right now, if you were to describe the state of your soul today, your life conditions, if you were to describe your emotions, your thoughts, your mind, the voices in your head, if you were to describe your soul today, would it be this? Or would it be this? And what David does is he actually connects these two things. He connects the waters and the state of our soul. He says that God takes this and he makes it this. He leads me beside still waters. He's saying that there's this kind of soul and there is this kind of soul. And David says that our God is the God of Menuhot. Menuhot is peace, it's stillness, it's serenity, it's harmony. And this God restores this to this awesome, cool vortex, the funnel cloud thing. He restores it to stillness. And this word restore, this word restore actually is the word teshuv, and it's the root of the word repent or return, restore, come back, go back to the way you were made to be, to live, be restored, return. Listen, here is the question. In this moment, in this moment, what are we returning to? What are we returning to? You know, they were sitting at the dinner table or dining room table. We're eating, I don't know, lunch, breakfast, dinner. They all blend together right now. Leftovers at the dining room table. we're setting the table. They're having the kids help. And Ruthie noticed there was salt all over the table. And she goes, man, who spilled salt all over the table? And I said, we're kind of getting ready. Oh, you know, they used to think that if you spilled salt on a table, it was bad luck. And she looks and she goes, well, it doesn't rhyme. And I go, okay. She goes, you know, the other day I was watching Mickey Mouse. And she talks like that. She talks like she just got back from the plant, like working her day job. So I was watching Mickey Mouse the other day, she says. And he found a penny on the ground, and he grabbed it, and he said it was good luck. And I said, find a penny, pick it up, all day long, you'll have good luck. And she looks at me, and she goes, see? It rhymes. And oh, it got me so good in that moment. I don't know where her little mind is or what's going on with it, but oh, I laughed so hard. It felt so good. You ever have like that good laugh, you know, that good deep, just losing it, like you got no control, there's tears sometimes, you're just, your stomach hurts, you just have that good laugh, right? You remember those? Remember? Everyone in the world, after a really good laugh, does what? What do they do? They go, ah. They take that deep breath. There's that deep breath, right? There's something so restorative in it, isn't there? There's something. It's amazing, actually, to me, because David writes that God restores my soul. Now, that word for soul is the word nafesh, and nafesh refers to life, a person, an individual. It's a soul, right? And actually, the root of the word nafesh comes from an ancient word, which simply means to breathe. Everyone, take a breath. God restores my soul. God restores my breath. I read something about breathing a while back. I did a prayer practice. There's a video on our website if you want to do it. It's called the Prayer of the Examine. And in it, you know, you take your time sitting in good posture in a chair, and you really focus on your breathing. You focus on your breath. And I was reading a while back Dr. Vijay Sharma, who's a breath doctor, breathing, a doctor of breathe, respiratory, you know. And this is what Dr. Vijay says, that the optimal amount of breaths per minute for a human being is 6 times a minute. That's like this. That's the optimal breath. 6 of those a minute. Now, the average American breathes somewhere between 16 to 20 times per minute. We are going like this all the freaking time, and we don't even know it. We're this life that we've been given, and we've chosen to live in this world, is we're like rats in a maze running all over and running all around. Our life is in chaos, and it's crazy, and we're worried, and we're panicked, and we're freaked out, and everything around us is going to pot, and we have the gall to, on Sundays, get together, share with each other, talk with each other, and ask, hey, how's your spiritual life? Just how's your walk with Jesus right now? I mean, you're this is a church thing, right? This is what we're supposed to be talking about, our spiritual life. You know, let's kind of get away from the rest of the stuff. Let's talk about your soul. Like these things are disconnected, like your spiritual life, or I'm sorry, your regular life could be like this, but your soul somehow could remain calm and at peace. Like we are disconnected beings. We are not. Your outer life is deeply connected to your inner life. It's only very recently that we've had this idea or this creation of compartmentalizing ourselves and my physical, my emotional, my mental, my spiritual well-being. Nobody ever did this. This is never a thing. We are one being. What's happening to any part of us happens to all of us. And for many of us, our lives look like chaos, and guess what? Our souls look like chaos too. We're not disconnected in this way. And that's why I think what we've all been confronted with right now, what we're in this moment, I think if my life isn't filled with all this stuff and work and tasks and things I gotta do and errands and clubs and classes for my kids and all these things, if my life isn't filled with this, then I'm confronted now with the chaos of my soul. We've been able to live disconnected, perhaps because we've been so damn busy in our lives. And now God has made us lie down. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to lead us beside still waters, and he wants to restore your soul. He wants you to return, 300 times a day, man. 300 times a day. I want to laugh 300 times a day again. I want to find peace. I want to find a place of harmony in my soul again, of joy that, guess what? Guess what? Is not associated with my circumstance. Because life sucks right now. I don't think that we have any choice in that. What are you going to do about it? What are you becoming in this moment? Let's take a deep breath. Find our soul returning to the place that God has made it to be. Maybe for you, you have been sensing God knocking. Maybe you've sensed his whisper or his voice over the last year or more or less. But right now, I don't think he's knocking. I think he's busted the door down. The call is coming from inside the house. He's here. And you can't go anywhere. What are you becoming? What are we becoming? Who are we leaning into? Where are we going? What do we want to say to Jesus right now? How are we going to respond to him? Can I pray for you? Jesus, in this moment, in this empty house for myself, I recognize that you are here. You are with all of us. You stick closer than a brother, than any family member we could have. And I pray in this moment, as you have made us lie down, that you would help us to find still water. Because the sea is just raging outside. The only thing we can control is right in here. And help us, Jesus. Help us to find peace. Help us to find stillness and help us to return to you. We give our lives. And that's not a symbol. It's real. We give our lives to you. Thank you for restoring our soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand? I don't know. You can sit. But will you join us together in our benediction song? I love you guys.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance.